Our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her."
It's kind of funny how the voice suddenly appears from behind the curtain. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Remember that one? The wizard showed himself behind the curtain. This past week, we had a chance, a bunch of us from our small group went caroling in the community, and it was a lot of fun. You know, singing carols and songs, walking along around the neighborhood here, and it was really cool, because at one point, this SUV drives by, and this guy's like, "Come to my house!" So we all go down to this guy's house, and we get offered tea, we go come in and visit for probably about half an hour, so it was really cool. But, you know, for me, I've been a Christian for, oh man, I can't even think that long now, almost 32 years, 31 and a half years. And you know, you grow up, you spend time in the church, you learn songs, and usually Christmas carols are those songs that you think you know the words, because you sing them every year, right? You think you know your words. So when we're out there caroling, I printed them up on a sheet, but I use like a 7.5 font. You know, pretty small. So when you're walking around, it's dim, you know, under the streetlights, and you think you can get away with just remembering the words. And I know for myself, like Tracy said, she could do it because she knew the words. She grew up, you know, and singing those songs. But for me, I got most of them right. I thought I did pretty good, actually. But there were a few where, blah, 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 watermelon, watermelon, because I couldn't get them right. You know, when you go to at Christmas time, especially if you have a Christmas Eve service, the one song usually that's sung at almost every Christmas Eve service is the song Silent Night. Now, I think most of us here could probably fake our way through the words of Silent Night. But the last words, the last three words, or four words, are sleep in heavenly peace. I was reading a story about a couple kids who, after a Christmas Eve service, they got home, and then they got into a fight, an argument, because the son said, "It's not sleep in heavenly peace, it's sleep in heavenly beans." And the little girl's like, "No, it's not. It's sleep in heavenly peas." The reality is, at Christmas time, peace is often hard to find. Because sometimes in the frantic rush to get everything done, that's probably the last thing we experience. I spent some time thinking about all the have-to-do list at Christmas time. And I've tried to compile a little bit of a list here. I did this in my Monday musings that I sent out on Monday, of course, but this little devotion. I've also put it up on our church's website. But here are some of the things that cause stress in our lives. Maybe you can relate to them. Shopping for gifts. Having enough money to buy gifts. And this is my big one that I'm struggling with right now. All the stores are out of the gift you're looking for. That's mine. Things like paying off the credit cards. Or this is one I see all the time on Facebook. You know, weeding through the crowded stores. All, you know, everyone's hustling, you know, just, it gets irritating. But then there's things like putting up the decorations, buying a tree, untangling the strands of lights. I think some of us can relate with that. Or the one that I really hate, Christmas lights that don't work. Especially after you put them on the tree, you plug them in and they don't work, and then you're like, ah. Oh, and then there's one that I, as a parent, dealt with all the time. And I can especially think of one Christmas we're in Saskatchewan, and we got a Barbie thing for our daughter. Three words, some assembly required. For those of you parents who got that in the mornings, you know, and you take it out, like you have like 5 million pieces. And the worst part wasn't the pieces, it was the stickers. Where do you put the stickers on a Barbie horse thing, you know, with a fold-out thing for food, you know? Oh. But then there are serious ones, too, that cause stress. And maybe for some of us, you know, Christmas time is really hard because we miss loved ones who passed away. And I know for some, you know, in our church of ECBC as a whole, this is going to be a very difficult Christmas with the loss of wives, you know, husbands, mothers, fathers. You know, when you compile a list like that, you realize and you understand why Christmas is a major stressor for people. Suicide rates go up around this time of the year. And the reality is we're all under a tremendous amount of stress and pressure all the time. But at Christmas time, there's this pressure to buy more, the newest, the best toys, the newest gadgets. And we have pressure on us to provide the best meals for our families and our friends, to clean our houses perfectly, to put up the nicest decorations, because we want our homes to be immaculate for when people come over. And then here's the big one, of course, finding the perfect gift. We run into the store only to find out it's sold out and they don't carry it anymore. You know, when I think of all these things, I ask myself, is this really the most restful and peaceful time of the year? So today, I want to ask myself and all of us here today, does Christ have anything to say in the midst of the season of hurry and rush? Because what Christmas is it's his birthday party. So what does he think about all this? What does he think about all the stress that we put ourselves under, the running around, spending all this money, all these different things? In our scripture reading this morning, it's a little bit of I think it's a funny story, actually, from the Gospel of Luke. And it shows how busyness and stress gets in the way of what matters most. And what was going on here, it wasn't Jesus' birthday that was going on. This passage has nothing to do with Christmas, per se. But it was a party. And the most important thing was that Jesus was there, and he was the honored guest. So I'm just going to read this passage again out of the NIV. It says this. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much of the serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. When we understand what Jesus said to Martha about her sister Mary, I think it's easy to see that it'll help us to understand and enjoy the season much more when we focus on what is really needed. So, just to start things off, I just want to sort of look at a couple things. And the one thing I want to ask ourselves is, what is stress? Anybody here stressed? For you students who are finishing off exams, it's pretty tough. Stress is defined as this: a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. In other words, it can result from things that annoy you or people that annoy you. Things that threaten you, excite you, scare you, worries you, hurries you, angers you, frustrates you, challenges you, criticizes you, or anything that kind of just bugs you. It can be caused by almost anything pleasant or unpleasant. The experts say that getting married is more stressful than getting fired from your job. So for those of you who are getting married, think about it. It's also, they say, retirement Retirement is more stressful than moving into a new home. Martha says this to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. So Martha here is experiencing stress. She's feeling under the gun, you know, she's running around the house, bringing the hors d'oeuvres out, and then she goes up to Jesus and is like, I need help. Tell my sister to help me. I have to go make some grape juice. I need her help. I'm doing it all by myself. I'm stressed. But I guess I'll have to do it by myself. The realization for all of us is that we all have stress in our lives. And stress in many ways is the body's alarm clock. It's a warning system. I read this quote here. No one can live without experiencing some degree of stress. Now, for many of us, we might think stress only happens when we, you know, maybe get a diagnosis of a serious disease, or we go through a traumatic experience, losing a loved one, or, you know, a physical or mental injury, these kind of things. But that's a false understanding of what stress is about. The fact is, even the simple things in life cause us stress. How many of you here have walked across a street in Edmonton, taking your life into your own hands? That is stressful. Exposure to a cold draft, or driving during rush hour, especially on icy roads. But even joy can bring stress into our lives as well. Because I love to shop, but boy, it's stressful. When you go into those stores and you're looking for that one particular thing and you don't get it. There's one particular thing I'm looking for, Tracy. I've gone in, there's one store that carries it, but both stores I've gone into, I stood there for 10 minutes. I was shuffling through stuff and I was looking for a certain size and this and that, and not one person came to me, and I was getting frustrated. But you know what, though? Stress isn't necessarily bad for us. Fact is, stress, it's a spice of life in many ways, because it's an adrenaline rush. Like any emotion, any activity, you know, they cause stress, but sometimes that stress gives us energy to do things. It can be caused by anything that creates an arousal, an alarm in our systems. But it also helps us when we're under stress, because when our adrenaline levels go up, makes us quicker. It makes us stronger. We're able to do things sometimes that we never thought we were able to do. But stress is also, it's like this rubber band here. You know, you stretch it, you let go, it goes back to normal. But when that stress level gets pulled and pulled, I did this in my office during the week. I'm not going to do it here because it hurt. But when you pull on the thing, you pull and pull, like even, I know, it's like when you're blowing up a balloon, right? And you know it's getting right near the edge. And you know, if you're standing around watching someone do it, you start to cringe, don't you? Because they're like, and you're like, oh, it's going to blow. Well, I did this with an elastic band and it hurt. So I'm not going to do it here, but you know, when you pull and pull and pull, eventually something is going to give. It's going to snap. And it hurts, so I don't want to do that. But if our bodies are in that constant state of tension, you know, where we're always stressed and stressed and stressed, it can have an effect on our lives. It can damage our minds and our bodies. Like I said, adrenaline's beneficial. But too much of it can have detrimental effects. It can lead to frequent headaches, you know, stiffness in our necks, our shoulders, our arms, our legs, stomach problems, irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy, so many things, can't sleep, coldness, excess perspiration, anger, and instability. The holiday season, the Christmas season, can be a period of major stress. The rubber band gets stretched and stretched and stretched, and it's held out there for a long time. You know, I was thinking, you know, Tracy and I, as many of you know, this is going to be a very busy week for us. We have, you know, today we're getting ready for, I'm getting ready for the joint service. Our son is getting married next Saturday. I'm doing a wedding in Calgary on Friday. And it's just like all piling up. And, you know, to be honest, I was getting stressed. I was getting very, and it was hard. And it has been hard. You know, you try to get all those to-do lists together. And sad as it may seem, sometimes Christmas loses its meaning because you get so busy doing all this stuff and focused in your life, you don't get a chance to step back and celebrate the birth of Christ. So that's what stress is. Stress is that stuff that just takes our focus, our energy, our lives away from what we should be focusing on. So the question then is, what is the cure for this stress? I love verse 40 here when Jesus says, so, you know, Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. And I think that's what happens in all of our lives. You know, when it comes to things like Christmas, we focus on, we at the beginning of the Christmas season, we think, yes, the birth of Christ, the incarnation, one of the greatest miracles ever. But then all the stuff starts happening. And we get distracted all the time. Like Martha, we get so distracted by the seemingly necessary things that we miss the point. Peter Drucker, who in the book The Effective Executive, says, for the most part, most of us, the problem is not priorities as much as it is posteriorities. And what he means is we need to leave out stuff. We need to cut stuff away. Not just prioritize so much, but we actually need to remove some of the junk in our lives. And I think that's what the real problem is in our lives. We make things priorities that aren't necessary. So we focus on things of lesser importance and we miss on what is most important in our lives. And the answer is to be like Mary. Look what Jesus tells Martha. He says to Martha, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. I read this story several months ago, and it talks about a man. It goes like this. I talked to a man who described one of the most painful experiences of his life. When he was 17 years old, he was a star on his high school football team. But his father, a very successful man in the city, was always too busy to see him play. The final game of the season came around, which was the state championship. The boy was desperate to have his dad there. The night of the big game, he was on the field warming up, and he looked up in the stadium just in time to see his father arrive with two other men wearing business suits. They stood talking together for a moment or two, and then they left. And the writer says this, the man who told me this story is now 58 years of age, yet tears streamed down his cheeks as he recalled the long ago moment. It had been 40 years since that night. Yet the rejection and pain are as vivid as ever. And he says, I was struck again by the awesome influence a father has in the lives of his children. And he says, my friend's father died not long ago, and as he stood by his dad's body in the mortuary, he said, Dad, I really never knew you. We could have shared much love together, but you never had the time. You see, Mary discovered the importance and the answer and the secret in dealing with stress. She realized that spending time with Jesus was more important than external preparations. Now, I want to point out, Martha's choice wasn't bad either. Martha was doing good things, but it simply wasn't the wisest choice at the moment. And the reason why was because Jesus was there. Author Dan Baber honored his mother by posting an auction on eBay titled, Best Mother in the World. The winning bidder would receive an email from his mom, Sue Hamilton, that would make you feel like you're the most special person on the earth. And while that was on eBay, 42,711 people looked at that post. Over, what does it say here, 92 offered a bid from $1, and in the end, he sold that for $610. An email from his mother for $610. And you know, it's interesting how people will pay for something that mothers give for free. I think it's a pretty sad commentary on our culture these days. You see, this time of the year, when it comes to Christmas preparations, all those things are good. They're important things. But in the end, the only thing that's needed for us is to spend time with Jesus. You know, I've heard over the years that Jesus is the reason for the season. But he's more than that. Because when we spend time with him, it's not just about, you know, making the celebration appropriate and being Christ, you know, God-focused, Christ-focused. But it's for us, our own sanity, our own peace, our own lives. James Dobson tells a story. A few years ago, I got a call from a girl in my department who said her car had broken down and left her stranded about 2 miles from the office. So I drove over there and found her leaning against her car looking flustered. I asked, "What happened?" "Well, I was just driving down the road and the car quit running," she said. "Could you be out of gas?" I asked. "No, I just filled up." Well, that one question pretty much exhausted my automotive diagnostic abilities, but I persisted. "What happened? Did it make any noise?" "Oh, yeah," she replied. "As I was driving down the hill, it went, bump, 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 pow!" And he said to her, "When was the last time you changed the oil?" Let's just say it'd been a while. It'd been a while. But that question, though, can be transferred to our lives. When was the last time you really took a Sabbath rest? When was the last time you set aside all the cares and worries of life and just said, "God, I need you"? I mean, I'm guilty of that often. That's just the reality. But we should never get so busy with the outward things that we neglect our quiet time and worship time with God. Our lives are all filled with stress. Many of us have gone through moments and periods in our lives where we've cracked, we've broken, we've fallen. But those are all just warning signs to us. Those are just reminders of our need and dependence on God, our need to spend time with Him. This time of year shouldn't be a stress-filled time. But it should be a time that we can step back and refocus our lives on God, on Christ. You know, I've been reading a book these past weeks by Bill Hybels called Simplify. And in this book, he talks about the complexity. And he's a pastor. He's a pastor of a church of tens of thousands of people. But he talked about how his life got so filled with doing, 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 appointments, meetings, you know, and just he lost touch with God. His life became a constant, his day timer was his life, basically, appointment after appointment after appointment. And he almost had to schedule time out with God and even with his wife. And it reminded him, though, of his need to simplify things, to take out the complexities of life and focus, as Mary did, on what was really needed. He examined his life, discovered the truth. He lost touch with the most important things. And I hope that, you know, in our lives, that we would take this Christmas season to really refocus on what matters to God. In Luke 2:14, on the very night that Jesus was born, angels from heaven announced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." So my encouragement to each of us here today is this. Don't let the celebration of the most peace-filled night in Earth's history turn into the most stressful time of the year. Father Joseph Moore wrote the following: "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender, and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Peace is available to each of us, and it's found in the person we celebrate this time of year, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our God and Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you, God, that we have this opportunity to set aside this time of year and think about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the stress, in the midst of the busyness, the glitz, the glamour of Christmas, the commercialization, Lord. Help us, God, to do what is needed and spend time with you. Lord, we know what's possible. We know what's true. And I just pray that that would be a reality for each of our lives during this busy time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I can totally relate with that. Oh, but I'm just going to, hey. I can totally relate with that message. I know when I heard that our team was going to be leading